come to the sermon this morning, would you turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12? My sermon this morning is The Journey of the Wise Men. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to what? To worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, 'For you, Bethlehem, is the land of Judah, and are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which has been seen in the east went before them, till he came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him. And they have opened their treasure, present gift to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they depart from their own country in another way. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your words this morning, that you will speak to every heart that is here. Lord, we pray that we will always have the reality and the meaning and the power of Christmas in our heart, O God. That as believers of Christ, that we will know what you have done for us, O God. And Lord, that we will learn to love and appreciate for your work for us, O God. So we commit this time to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We talk about the wise man that is in the Bible. You know, when you look at scripture and tradition, there's not much detail about the wise man. The wise man from the east. My first question is, how many were there? Most of us will say there are only three wise men. And the reason we say there are three wise men, because of the three costly gifts that was presented to Jesus, to baby Jesus. The gift of gold, the gift of frankincense, and the gift of myrrh. Second question is, where do they come from? We know they came from the east, but how near and how far from the east? Most of us are told that most likely they came from Persia, that is known as Iran today. One thing we know for sure, that every true seeker of God, those who truly seek God with their heart, will always find God. Say amen. And not only will they find God, God will find them. God do not despise, God do not reject, God do not overlook those who truly seek him with his heart. The Bible promised us, "You shall seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." These three wise men were seeker. They were seeker for God, and God revealed themselves to them. I want you and encourage you to be a seeker of God. Always have a heart that seek after God. I know in life we can seek after many things. How you really realize that? You know, we live in the Western world where we seek after the good life. How many realize that? But I want you to know, above seeking after the good life, seek after who? Seek after the Lord. The Bible promised us that when we seek God, we will live. When we seek God, we will be satisfied. When we seek God, we will be fulfilled. But if we seek things and any other things, the truth is that things come and go. Only those that seek God will find Him and find what? Life. The third question is, how long a journey did it take? They could have easily traveled 1,000 miles or 1,600 kilometers. To us today, 1,000 miles is not far. To us today, do you know that you can be on a plane and travel 1,000 miles without stopover and you can reach your destination? Think of this. You can take the 1 a.m. flight from Perth to Singapore, you reach there by 6 a.m. Get off the airport, have your breakfast, do your shopping. Eat and shop, eat and shop, eat and shop, not till you drop dead. No, till you can't even eat and shop. And then you catch the 6 o'clock flight on the same day and return to Perth before midnight. But in Jesus' time, it was different. In Jesus' time, to travel 1,000 miles, it was not one day or a few days or a few weeks, but it was months. It took them at least 4 months for the wise men to follow the star to come where Jesus was born. It would have cost them time, energy, and money to follow the star to see this baby Jesus. Remember one thing, in this 4 months journey at least, anytime they could have turned back and they could have said, we give up, we will abandon this mission, this journey. But they continue on day and night till they came to baby Jesus. The journey of the wise men is a lesson for all of us who travel life. We are all in a life journey. How many realize that? We are all in a life journey. It is a journey. It's a lesson for us to learn. In life journey, find people of the same lighted mind. Find people that is like-minded traveler so that you travel the journey of life not by yourself. By yourself, you will be lonely. By yourself, you may give up. But when you travel life journey, just like these three wise men, they travel together. Together, they can encourage one another. They can inspire one another. They can challenge one another. Together, they can be in the journey so that they do not give up or give in, and they can finish the journey strong and finish the journey well. All of us, like this wise man, is on a journey, a long journey. And I tell you, in this journey, when you see things that are happening, you may be discouraged to give up. When you find it's too hard, you may say it's enough. But I want you to know that the journey that the wise men take was not an easy journey, but it was a journey that they have set their heart, and together, day and night, they travel till they came to baby Jesus. Christian, in your journey of life, don't be alone. Don't isolate yourself. Get people who share the same faith, the same heart like you, and travel together so that you are able to encourage one another. Wise men travel thousands of miles to meet Jesus. One thing I know for certain, the number of wise men and wise women increases in every generation as people continue to seek Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born to be the Savior of the world. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ is the only answer. The only answer. There is no other answer. There is no other solution. Jesus Christ is the only answer to the lost and broken humanity. Like the wise man, your life is also a journey. How would you travel your journey? When I look at this wise man, I learned three truths that can help you and me to travel our journey, so that this truth that is in this wise man may become also our personal truth. Truth number one is a journey of faith. Verse 2 tells us, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." This was a prominent question. A prominent question when they asked. We asked this question, where is he? Why would someone travel such a long distance and leave comfort and safety of their home to travel such a distance? Why would someone do that? I tell you, it could be romance. Love can make a person travel from one continent to another continent. Love can make a person swim the longest ocean, climb the highest mountain. It could be romance. It could be in search of wealth. People will travel far just for wealth. Gold. Because of gold, thousands of Chinese from China went to Melbourne during the gold rush. I met an 8th generation Aussie whose great, 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 great grandfather from China came to Australia because of gold rush. Later on, he married an Aussie lady. He came because of gold, followed by what? Love. People will travel a dangerous far journey for a better life. Like thousands come to Australia by sea and by air. This Australia is called what country? Not a banana republic, the lucky country. I believe Australia, especially Perth, is still one of the best places to live on earth. Say amen to that. We are really blessed. But would you think of this wise man travel all this distance because of faith? Because of faith. They were willing to travel dangerous and long distance because of faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. When they say, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? This is a question they have in their mind and in their heart because they believe that he is born. The question is, where is he? They saw the star and they know the star is real. But where is he? They travel this long distance because of faith. Faith in God. Faith that he exists. Faith that he is alive. Faith is what we need. Because of faith, they are willing to take the great risk. The great risk to find him. They left the safety of their home. Took a dangerous, risky, hard, tough, and rough journey to seek a king. That is faith. Can you imagine your neighbor reaction? When your neighbor asks them, are you going on a journey? Yes. Where are you going? I do not know for sure. How far is it? Well, I do not know that either. How long are you going to be gone? Well, I'm not sure of that. And you look at these wise men, you will say they are not so wise after all. What their neighbor think of them is the same way how Abraham's neighbor would think of him when he left his home for the promised land. He did it because of what? Faith. The same as Noah when he built the ark and he talked about rain. Till that time, the people had never seen rain before. That is called what? Faith. The same as the disciple of Peter, Andrew, John, and James when they left their fishing boat and they became fishers of men. What do you call that? Faith. They were not crazy. They were not insane. They were not out of mind. But they were men of faith. And I want you to know we need faith because the Bible says the just shall live by what? By faith. By faith. Think of this. When you travel like those days, you travel in the day and you sleep in the what? In the night. For them to see the star, they must travel what? In the night and sleep in the day. And if you have been working on shift, you know how sleeping day and night and changing upset your whole system. But because of faith in God, they were willing to go against the opposite and the norm. They were willing to sleep and came in the day and travel in the night because they have a faith in God when they put their trust on the shining star. God's journey always requires what? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. Apart from faith. Why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists, that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. It is faith that God looks at. Yes, sometimes we don't have great faith. How many realize that? We may have very little faith. But as long as there is faith, the Bible says, God is pleased with faith. And when there is faith, God will respond. God will reward. People of faith will always respond to the challenge, even though they may be unknown. You look at Abraham, you look at the wise man, you look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. These are all people of faith who have put their faith in God. And I know you're here this morning because you have put your faith in what? Not in money, say amen. You have put your faith in God. And God always honors what? Faith. Make your journey one of faith. God honors and God rewards those who put their faith in Him. You need faith today. You need faith for the impossible. You need faith for the future and the unknown. The wise man's journey was a journey of faith in God. I encourage you this Christmas season, renew your faith in God. The God who said, I am that I am. The God who is, who was, and is to come. The God of yesterday, today, and forever. The God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The God who said, I go before you. The God who said, I am your real God. The God who said, I surround you. This Christmas, renew your faith in God. Many things that happen in this world can shake our faith. But our faith must be like an anchor. Anchor on Jesus Christ. No matter what comes our way, whatever storm, whatever challenge, whatever problem, whatever needs, that we are able to say, I know whom I have believed, and God will see me through, and God is with me. I am not alone. Their journey was a journey of faith. They never travel alone. They have companion. I encourage you, don't travel your Christian life of faith alone. There are brothers and sisters here. Surround them. Let them surround you. And together, we can encourage, inspire, and cheer one another. Why do you turn around to someone and say, I'm here? Amen. And that's important because, you know, sometimes you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked that in the midst of a crowd, you can feel so alone. How many realize that? You need brothers and sisters who share the same heart, same faith, same belief, and encourage one another so that you don't give up on your journey. Amen? What is the second truth about the journey of the wise man? It's the journey of worship. In the gospel, we see people who came. I cannot understand. There are people who come to spy on Jesus Christ. And they not only spy on him, they accuse him. Others came to observe. They observe what Jesus said, what Jesus do, you know, how Jesus behaved. And they observe. And when they observe, they criticize him. But some came. They saw, they believe, and they worship Jesus for who he claimed to be. The promised Messiah, the one sent by God. This wise man traveled this long journey with only one purpose and one goal, and that is to what? Not to spy on Jesus, not to see, not to criticize, not to judge. They travel with only one purpose in their heart from this very journey, from the very start of the journey till they finish their journey. What was the one purpose? That they may what? Worship him. They did not travel empty-handed, but brought with them the gift of gold, the gift of frankincense, and the gift of myrrh. And every of these gifts is associated to worship, the worship of Jesus Christ. When they give Jesus the gold, the most rare, the most expensive metal, it represents wealth, power, and majesty of a king. When they give him gold, they recognize it's a gift fit for a king, fit for royalty, and that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. When they present him the gift of frankincense, it is a sap of a tree. When it's dry and it's hardened, it's used to burn as incense to God. When they present him there, they are saying that Jesus, of your divinity, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When they give him the gift of myrrh, it's a perfume, a fragrant perfume from the leaf of a rose. Myrrh is used to anoint the body and prepare the body for burial. When they give that to him, to Jesus, they are saying, Jesus Christ, you are the suffering Savior. You will die. You are the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. They travel to worship. What are we created for? We are created to worship God. Our chief aim in life is to glorify Him and to enjoy God. That's what God makes us. The question is, who do you worship? What do you worship? Your worship is what is most important to your life, what you value most. And the only person that you should worship, the only person worthy of your worship is God. Say amen. It's not things. Not another person. And not you. In our Western world, there is too much self-love. Self-love is self-worship. Not all these things. The only one worth worshiping is Jesus Christ. The wise men brought their gift to worship Christ the King. And the best gift that you can give to Christ today is to present yourself to Him. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 tells us, therefore I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is the thing that you can give to God this Christmas, is to again consecrate your life, again dedicate your life, again give your life afresh to God and say, God, this life of mine, this body of mine, everything of me, oh God, is a living sacrifice. And Lord, I want to live my life to please you as an act of worship. Verse 11 tells us, they bow and worship Him. To worship, one has to bow. The bowing is not just going on the knee, but it means an attitude of humility, an attitude of wonder, an attitude of wow. I think that's what is missing. What is missing in our Western Christianity is wow. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? We need to see God as God. Wow. And see and let the greatness of God, the glory of God become wow, captured by Him. So they bow down and they worship Him. Before their knee was bowed, their hearts and their attitude must be bowed first. And this man, this wise man, their hearts and attitude express a response to worship Christ the King. While the world get caught up with Christmas rush, the Christmas feast and Christmas shopping, do not forget Christmas needs a heart of worship, an attitude to worship Christ the King. The message of the first Christmas is Christ is born to be the Savior of the world, and whosoever comes to Him is to worship Him. This is still the same message 2,000 years. The message has not changed, and you will never change, that whosoever respond to God, respond to Him, must come to Him as an act of what? Worship. Worship always involves sacrifice. A price to be paid. This man, this wise man pay the price. They travel a long distance, forgo their comfort, gone to danger, and then they came and worship. This morning, you can be at home lying down, but you take time to come here. That is paying a price. Worship always requires sacrifice. And God wants from each one of us, it's not our money, not our time. What God wants from each one of us is who? It's you. If he has you, he has everything. Say amen. Some people can say, God, I give you my money, but don't disturb me. God wants you. Because when he has you, he has everything. My question to you is, are you willing to give him? Are you willing to give him your best? Are you willing to go on a journey to worship him? Are you willing to give up your comfort to worship Jesus? Hello? Are you all still there? And I was talking to a pastor. Our conversation was this, that when worship service becomes one of convenience, where people can have so many different slots, one of convenience, the chances is modern Christianity has chosen the most convenient worship. How many of you realize that? Hello? And that is no good for what? That is no good for our spiritual life. Worship requires a sacrifice. If it's only for our convenience, we miss it. If it costs you inconvenience and discomfort to worship God, it makes something out of you. When worship becomes convenient, it becomes a worship of what? Conscience. Hello? That's dangerous. The worship of conscience said, I have done my part. I've gone to church on Sunday. I pay my tithes. I've done my part. Now, I can do whatever I want because after that, it's all my time. Until the next Sunday. It's called a worship of convenience. But worship, according to the scripture, is about your whole what? Your whole life. Your whole life. That's when we come to the third point. The third point that is so powerful, that their journey is a journey of what? Change. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they depart for their own country in another way. They have been traveling this way. Went to Jesus, saw Jesus, worship him, present their gift to him. Most of us, we travel from Perth to Albany to Albany Highway. When we come back to what? Albany Highway. Unless we want to go to the longer journey. So you would expect the wise men to travel that way and come back the same way after they worship Jesus. But they've been warned and given a dream that they should not take the same road to go back, but they should go what? Another way. Is it not true? Is it not true that once we meet God, once we worship him and we come to an encounter with God, we will never be the same again? Is it not true? Is it not true? That's why true worship is spirit and truth. True worship do not require flashing light, smoke, or great music. No, true worship is a heart that bows down to God. And because when the heart is bowed down to God, the heart has been touched by God, impacted by God, transformed by God, changed by God, and that person will go back a different way. If I, an abusive husband, I come to church, I touch God, I cannot continue to be an abusive husband. Say amen. If I'm a nagging wife, I should not be the same after that. How many of you say that? That's what true worship is about. That's why Jesus showed them, if you had traveled this way, you have to go what? Another way. What does it mean to go another way? What was the message of the kingdom of God? The message of kingdom of God, Jesus said, what was Jesus' first word? Repent. What does it mean to repent? A change of direction, a change of attitude, a change of heart. Therefore, if I have been walking this way, if I repent, I must turn and walk differently. In the same way, these people, these wise men came and worshipped Jesus, and Jesus told them, you cannot go back the same way. You have to go another way. The encounter with God changed things. It changed you, and it should change you, and it must change you. Jacob, that fellow is a cheater. He's a supplanter. He cheated his brother, and I think Jacob has a great inferiority complex because he's a mommy boy and the father doesn't spend much time with him, so he must be quite insecure. This is Jacob. But the minute he wrestled with God, when God touched him, the Bible tells us he never walked the same the rest of his life. Moses, man, he lost his dream. He lost his passion. He thinks everything is finished. He thinks he is dead and good for nothing. Nothing more for him but looking after those sheep. Until he saw the burning bush. And when he saw the burning bush, and when he met God, he is empowered, and he is never the same again. He became a deliverer of Israel. Isaiah. Isaiah stepped in the presence of God. And this is why he said, woe am I. I am undone. I am unclean. I'm a sinner. I have unclean lips. And then he said this. My eyes have seen the King. And he was never the same again. Job. Job questioned God. I don't know about you. How many of you ever questioned God? Come on, be honest about you. I do. But you know, if you ever question God, you'll come out to the same answer. You are just human. He is God. How many realize that? Job questioned God concerning his suffering. Then God showed up. Here I am, Job. God showed up. And you know what Job said? In Job 40, verse 4 to verse 5, Job saw God and he said this, I am speechless. I say, oh, I don't know about you. If you are in the presence of God and you are touched by God, the first thing that happened to you, you don't talk much anymore. There's some the sense of your mouth being shut. I'm speechless. Because why? He said, I'm speechless. Words has filled me. I should have never opened my mouth. Have you ever felt that way before? I should have never opened my mouth. I have talked too much. Way too much. Have you ever felt that way like Job felt? I'm ready, what? He said this word. So many people need to say, I'm ready to shut up. And what? And listen. And Job was never the same. Again, he was a changed man. This is what happened when you meet God. You are changed and you are continue being changed into the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is what happened to the wise men when they encountered Jesus. They saw him, they worshiped him, and they were changed. This is what happened when you encounter Christ. You will never be the same again. You will see life differently with God's eyesight, we got perspective, we got value, and not how the world sees it. Christmas, we hear the journey of the wise men. They came from the east to find Christ. And what was their journey? Their journey was one of faith. That's what you have to continue your life. Walk in faith. The journey was one of worship. You will find, as you travel in your life journey, your heart will be challenged. What do you value most? What do you worship? What is number one in your life? And when they worship Jesus, they will change. How about you this morning? How are you traveling in your life journey? How are you in your Christian journey? I pray that this Christmas, that you will renew your faith in Jesus Christ, who is, who was, and is to come. I pray that this Christmas, like the wise men, you will say, I will not turn back, I will only go forward. He is my number one. And as I worship Him, as I see Him, may He change me. May He change my life. Change who I am. The wise men travel that journey. You need to travel the journey of faith, the journey of worship, and the journey of change. Come, worship team. We're going to sing one song, then we're going to have communion together. And allow this message to touch our hearts. Thank you, Jesus.
Stand up.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels stroll? You've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding, he's a great
comes to the Lord's table. If you don't have the elements you want, just lift up your hand. If you are a Christian, we want to take communion together. This is the table of the Lord. We take communion in faith. Faith in He who is, who was, and who is to come. He is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is faith in Him that pleases God. We take communion as an act of worship, saying, God, you are worthy of all. Our hearts say you are the most important person in our life. We see the three wise men make the journey, the difficult journey. We only one goal: worship Him. Herod said, when you found this baby Jesus, tell me, I will come and worship Him. But that's not his heart. The religious leader could say where Christ was to be born, but none came to worship Him. The nation of Israel waiting for the promised Messiah, but they did not come to worship Him. But the wise man came from afar to worship Him. Communion is when we set our heart to worship Him. At the same time, we know that when we come and be touched by God, we will walk away changed by Him, empowered by Him. You hold in your hand the bread that represents His body, and the cup that represents His blood. Lord, we stand before you as your people, and we recognize without you, where would we be? We are nothing, we are lost. But your great love has shown towards us, O God. As sinner, you have died for us, O God. Lord, we pray that this Christmas, may our faith be renewed. May our worship be transforming, O God. And may our life be changed by you. Each time, Lord, when we take this bread and this cup, we are declaring individually and corporately that we belong to you. that we are your people, God, called forth to shine for you as the light of the world. Bless this bread, bless this cup, O God. And for those that are sick, God, may you bring healing to their body, their soul, their emotion, and their spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread. And the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.